The year is 2008. Cassandra White has just begun her time at Signature School, and Jonathan Winesapple is about halfway through his time as mayor of Evansville.
I used to joke that, and especially looking at downtown, that by 5 o'clock you could see tumbleweeds blowing down the middle of Main Street.
He wanted to see a change, and so did White.
And when I went to SIG, you know, most of downtown was shut down during the day.
The downtown is an example of the life of the community. And if your downtown isn't thriving, then your community isn't thriving.
I know a lot of people seem to live in Evansville and not like the fact that they were in Evansville. And it was kind of like nobody ever left Evansville, but everybody kind of seemed to have this disdain for being here.
And so I think there was just a general sense that things weren't happening in Evansville.
I always joke with people that I kind of had this like pop punk, like hometown hatred kind of thing. So it was always the plan to kind of get out of Evansville.
And she did, for college, but she came back. White now runs Mystic Hand Press and has worked on branding for some of Evansville's most celebrated new businesses.
And to be able to walk downtown and, you know, now there's High Score Saloon and there's River City, River Kitty, all, you know, so many things right there on the walkway.
You may have noticed, Evansville's urban core has undergone a change. Downtown, Franklin Street, and beyond. It seems Evansville has reached an innovation inflection point.
I think that changes kind of the perception of who we are as a town, I think. And the fact that people are starting to pay attention to downtown is a big part of that.
I think that level of engagement, that level of community risk-taking, that level of maybe social entrepreneurship, once it becomes kind of a way of being, that this is how the community operates, I think more people just instinctively start thinking at that level.
Today, Winesapple is the chancellor of the local Ivy Tech Community College. He says Evansville is headed in the right direction.
And so it's more of an attitude of possibility instead of negativity.
Talk to the founder of Evansville's Tech on Tap, Drew Perrinen, and he'll tell you entrepreneurship and innovation is ingrained in Evansville's history.
We were very, very big in lumber production.
Evansville had ammunition, furniture, refrigeration, but in the 1950s, big manufacturing began to wane.
And for various reasons, either they've become economically irrelevant or the incumbents locally have been moved elsewhere, those focuses of our economy have shifted. And it's nothing good or bad about Evansville. It's just the typical life cycle of economies.
But it might be worth mentioning that there is something else in Evansville's history. As manufacturing slipped away in the late 50s, the factory locating service, Fantas, studied the city. The authors of the study wrote, "Evansville is racked by pessimism, gloom, inability to work in a unified fashion. One group stymies another simply because of personality differences between members."
And the Fantas study talked about, you know, getting rid of the settling for less attitude.
This is former Evansville resident and entrepreneur Joe Wallace.
Doing whatever it takes to get people to think positively about the city.
The authors of the study also wrote, "Evansville has what it takes. Of that, we are convinced. All it needs to do is learn to use its abilities more effectively and constructively." But that didn't happen right away. So between 1960 and 2016, what happened? What made Evansville into a city that a college student can leave and return to with excitement? According to local entrepreneur and community visionary Amy Wordsmith, it's been decades in the making. Decades in which a more diverse group of people grew to share entrepreneurial power. They began working together across neighborhoods and sectors. They found support in a community ready to improve its self-image. But first, let's go back to 1963, when Washington Square Mall opened its doors.
And then you had to choose between downtown and Washington Square, and Washington Square won. And Eastland came online.
That was 1981.
Eastland killed Washington Square.
As Eastland rose, so did the millennial generation. It was different from the last, just as every generation is different from its predecessor.
You know, we grew up when shopping malls were the place to be, and we see how they've kind of sucked the soul out of like local business because they usually consist of, you know, chains.
Local business owner David Rudabaugh says people in his generation began to see the benefit of shopping local. And people like him began to offer those local establishments, like White Swan Coffee Lab.
We see the benefit of the heart that and the like the real people that you get to interact with in a mom and pop shop versus, you know, going to Walmart.
He says they want more, a better experience. They want to interact and have a real community and seek out quality over quantity.
Those are all things that you see my generation starting to really strive more for and want more in their life. So you see much less of the big chain and more of the mom and pop growth because that's where we want to spend our money. Money talks. So we kind of shifted the dynamic, I think, culturally. And it's, I think everybody's benefiting it.
So there's the first part of the change, the rise of a new generation interested in the experience, community, and artistry ingrained in our city's roots. To learn more, you can listen to part 2 of this series.